done seminars. They've been amazing. Thank you so much. Now, Paul wrote, didn't he, in Acts 20, 22 to 24, "Now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of his grace." What I thought we would end up on is we would talk about rhythm. Because Paul comes across as one of those people who just seems relentless. I now work as part within a team, and the co-leader, my boss's wife, she is known as Roadrunner, because she just doesn't stop. And it's like, what about this, whatever, and she's just all over the place at times. There's points where we're just going to have to say, wait a minute, can we just stop and breathe? Because we need rhythm. If we are going to work out this giving the gospel, giving the good news to the boys and girls, we need to make sure that we have got a good rhythm. Now, I speak to you from experience. My rhythm isn't great. Although, at the age of 11, I decided it'd be a really good idea to take up a musical instrument. The only reason I wanted to take up this particular musical instrument was because it was the only one that my younger and fairly more annoying brother hadn't yet conquered. You would give him anything and he could play the violin, he could play the trumpet, he could play the trombone, he could play a piano. So I decided to take up the drums. Just because I realized that they would drown out anything else that he would want to play. So at primary school, you weren't allowed to play drums. I went to secondary school first, and so therefore I got to have the drum lessons. And to the point where my parents even said, yeah, okay, we'll buy you a drum kit. Which then meant they had to build me a spare room up in the loft, because that was the only place they couldn't hear me. And so I started out, and I remember the drummer in my secondary school was like the best job ever, because you were the one that got to set the tempo. Well, actually, no, you didn't. You got to set the tempo by the conductor, who was my music teacher, Mrs. Davis. Now, Mrs. Davis is a beautiful woman of God. However, she has got the voice of terror. And if you are not in time, as I wasn't to begin with, I would hear these horrible words, bass side, bass side, bass side, which meant I had to hit the drum, bass side, bass side, bass side, bass side. However fast she was telling me to go, I would go. All right, because at times, either my rhythm had dipped down or my rhythm had got too fast because I'd probably got a little bit too excited. All right, and so this thing of rhythm is something that drummers really do require. Okay. Yes, some drummers might just have the volume of loud and really, really loud in your churches. I don't make any apologies for that. But I do make apologies for those that haven't got any rhythm at all. And just as a side note, can we all take clapping lessons, please, in church? Because as a drummer, when you clap on the wrong beat, it really throws me. All right, so that's just me verbally expressing you guys to sort your clapping out. But actually, there is something about rhythm and our lives and our rhythm of lives. If we are to serve boys and girls better, we need to find a good rhythm. Jesus says these words in Matthew 11. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will rest. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, in the context of what Jesus was saying, he is talking about the way that his profession of the faith, his kingdom of God, this stuff he was talking about, was so much easier to that which was expected in the world of them and what they were living under within the religious kind of structures and rules and regulations. But actually, I think this has still got something to say for you and for me. Well, I'll just say for me, because I don't know about you. Because I try to do too much. In actual fact, there are points where I do too much. I try and fill my diary, I try do this, I try do that. In actual fact, in moving and changing my job, I found that this scripture is even more important to me. Because when you're on a church plant, and we're doing a church plant on steroids, because we're not kind of doing it, like previous church plants might take a year to actually get up and running. We had 5 minutes as a team, and then we opened our church doors. And we've gone from like nothing to 60 on a Sunday morning, including boys and girls. And my vicar, my boss, Gareth, he is just like, what has just happened? This is just not ticking any boxes within the book manual of how to do church planting. And we are pretty much, this rest thing is really difficult. Because we want to keep on going. We want to keep on seeing more God do more stuff. We want to be in that school. We want to do this. We want to do that. And the problem is that within our general lives, we get so busy that things start to fall away. So we're going to take a little bit of space to think about you. Okay? This is how the Message version puts that same bit of scripture. I want you to listen to it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Just, if we walk into our children's ministry, walking and working and watching how Jesus does it, you'll have the best kids' ministry on the planet, is my opinion. Because what boys and girls need is they do need to see Jesus, and the way they see Jesus is through you. Just as a learning point, when I was talking about team earlier, I remember saying to one of my young leaders, I said to all my team, guys, we are Jesus with skin on. And she was 14 years old, and she went to her small group and said, "Hi, I'm Jesus with skin on." At which point, a number of children were completely freaked out. Because they all thought Jesus had a beard, and she evidently didn't. So, if we take this on, and we are prepared, because we do have to be prepared for kids' ministry, there is points where my program is always set in jelly. Because it has to be. Because we don't know what the boys and girls are going to come in with. But if we're walking with Jesus, and we are working with Jesus, and we watch how he does it, it's easy. That's how I found in my experience. Everything just flows. But I also know the times when I'm not walking with Jesus, and I'm not working with Jesus, and I'm not watching how he does it, because Rick Otto's way is better than Jesus' way. And I find that they're the ones, and those kids' ministry sessions are the worst. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. It's a 3-4 bar. Dun, 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 dun. It's a metronome of just walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. The challenging question is when we're preparing, do we do any of these three things? First one, B. You are a human being. You are not a human doing. I'm struck by that every day of my life. Ephesians 1, 19 to 21 says this: "This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." Jesus is being with the Father. He is there with him. We will celebrate Ascension in a few weeks' time. And depending on your church, whether you make a big deal of that or not, actually it is something which is quite significant, because Jesus goes to be with the Father. When we are in our preparing mode, when we are thinking about things, how often do we just stop and be? It's the same power that rose Christ from the dead that is in you. We need to connect to it. We need God's Spirit. If we are going to walk and work and watch how he does it, we need to be with Jesus. Ephesians 2, 6 to 9, later on says, raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If we just keep on trying to produce and produce and produce and to try and find the winning formula for our kids' ministry, and we are not with the Father, it is not by works, it's by faith. There is that great t-shirt that we see at many a Christian festival. Does my faith look big in this? The only way we increase in our understanding, in our grasp, in our muscle powers of faith is by being. We need to be. Because if we are going to give anything to boys and girls, we need a reservoir of what we've already been in to then give it away. So, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. We've got to be. Then we get to walk. I do an awful lot of walking. I do less walking now that I'm in Manchester and I've got a car. When I was in Ripon, when we had small kids, I used to walk around Ripon. Now, it only takes about 5 minutes to walk around Ripon. And yes, it still has Woolworths open. But it doesn't. It's that bite. No, it's not really. But what I find with walking is that I talk to Jesus a lot more when I'm walking than when I'm doing anything else. And it's just incredible. Like, people will say, "Rick, how do you plan your sessions? How do you do this? How do you do that?" In all honesty, after I've been, I go for a walk. I just go and walk. We had John and Ann Coles with us at our church last weekend. And we had a time on Wednesday, on Monday morning with a bunch of young leaders. And they were asking John and Ann questions. These are legends. Like, it's like sitting at the feet of Jesus when you sit with John and Ann. And one of the guys asked a question, like, "Well, you've done ministry for so long. You've led this, that, and the other of varying sizes. John used to lead New Wine. And like, how have you done your spiritual journey?" And John said, "Well, I'm not a disciplined person." I was like, "Thank you, Lord. He isn't perfect." And he just said, "You know what? I go for walks with Jesus. I'll take my Bible around the park, and I will just be reading my scriptures, and I will just meditate on them as I walk." Once we have been with the King, once we've had a taste of that, you just want to walk it out. Just want to walk and like beam it with people. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." When we have been, we then get to go and be it. You know? I'm sure if you spend an awful lot of time in a nuclear plant, you're probably going to end up glowing. All right? I was caught shoplifting as a kid by my mother. It was a blackjack. How did she know I'd stolen it? And my phone was black. How will boys and girls know that you are what you're talking about is what you're walking about? Because they see it. That was that scary stat from earlier. 60% is who you are. So if we're not spending time with Jesus, walking and working and watching how he does it, then you will very quickly find they're disengaging all over the place. But when you come from a genuine place of spending time with Jesus, that is what they are captivated by. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. We be with Jesus, we spend time with Jesus. Then we go for walks, we get to imitate God. And the thing is about walking is that you can't really hide much when you're walking. Like when I was walking around Ripon, and it's starting to slowly happen in the area I walk around now, boys and girls started to recognize who I was because I was in their primary schools. And then that adds a whole heap of pressure because they watch how you are with your children. They watch how you are when you are in church. Boys and girls watch how you worship on a Sunday morning. So if we are in doing the action songs and you're a bit like, "Our God's a great big God. Our God's a great big God." What are boys and girls going to do? You know, there was a question earlier in John's session. What, we've got football boys in our, and they don't want to engage with songs. Well, my answer to that question is they'll engage if you engage. If you get alongside and dive in with them and make it a laugh and fun, guess what? So will they. Try having 600 footballing boys in a cattle shed. And they don't want to engage, especially with the 11-year-olds. That's really tough. But I watch those guys bounce in Boulder Gang like the leaders are exhausted by the end. Like you're picking them up off the floor. But the kids, they're just like, well, if they're doing it, I'm going to do it. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Imitate God in the way that you live, in the way that you teach, in the way that you are. And then, finally, stand. We are in a battle. We are ministers to the largest mission field in the world. We've got a 4 to 14 year, we've got a 10-year window to reach children. Stats tell us that if we reach children between 4 and 14 years old, they will continue in their walk. That's why Proverbs says, teach a child when he is young, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Go figure. We need to make a stand for boys and girls in our communities, in our churches. My family, my mum and dad are key to the church. I think if they left the church, it would fall down. And they serve that church, my home church, incredibly well. And I've got a younger brother, as I've said, and he grew up in the same house. He heard the same stories. He went to the same holiday clubs and Sunday school. And yet, when we both left home, I left home at 18, he left home at 16, we both left at the same time because he went off to play professional football. Not that I'm jealous, because I went to work in North Manchester and talked to boys and girls who didn't want to know about Jesus. But he's made a choice. His choice at this moment in time is not to believe what I believe. And it hurts. What was even funnier was that he asked me and my wife to be godparents in a humanist ceremony for their children. I'm not sure how you are a godparent in a humanist thing, but And we are standing for our nieces. Who are you standing for? Because when we get a taste of the King and we walk with the King, we make a stand for Him. Because we are there between darkness and light, and we are lifting boys and girls from darkness into light. It's not we bring them to that point. It's Jesus that does the best bit. We get to just go, ha, great, check it out. What is it that you are making a stand for? Because once we start making a stand, you will see incredible things happen in your ministry. As a team, how often do we pray that God's kingdom will come on a Sunday morning? Or is it, Lord, please help us just get through? Or is it, Lord, I pray that that boy doesn't turn up again this week? Lord, I pray they're on holiday. Because we all do it. But if we change our mindset to walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, the whole concept of how we approach our ministry will change. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, I did a little bit of preaching on this with my friends. I'm not going to do this now in our youth ministry, but we really recognized that all of the armor of God, I was always taught that it's all at the front because we're into battle. But you read that bit of scripture again, how many times does it say, and make a stand? It does not say, run at them like crazy people. It says, make a stand. Okay? Put on the shoes. Be prepared. This is probably the message version, maybe it doesn't do it justice, but there are so many times that it says, stand, be still, know that I am God. Friends, if we are going to be what this is called, if this piece of paper, the calling, if we're going to live this out, we are going to have to be with Jesus. We are going to have to walk with Jesus in the good times and in the bad times, and we are going to have to make a stand. Because it is a matter of life or death. Amy Carmichael was given a vision she was taken to a cliff top, beautiful green pastures with daisies sprouting up left, right, and center. And she could see all these people. And people were getting to the end of the cliff and falling off it into the bottom, into the seas at the bottom of this cliff. And she ran, and she was like, stop, stop, and trying to save as many people as she could. And she's dragging people away from the edge. And she's running past people who are making daisy chains out of the beautiful daisies that are popping up in the grass. And she stops and says, what are you doing? This is all in her vision. What are you doing? What? Stop making daisy chains. And they just continued making daisy chains. She felt at that point that that was what God was saying. Look, you are going to rescue the people who are on the edge and bring them back. What we've done really well in church, whether it's with children or youth or adults, is we've created nice safety pillows at the bottom of the cliff. And we catch them. I don't want to be a person who catches people at the bottom. I want to be a person that stood on the edge of the cliff with my back towards the water, with others held in my hands, and saying, the Gandalf version, you shall not pass. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see boys and girls disappear off the edge. I am a minister. I'm a minister to the largest mission field in the world. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it, Jesus says. So I encourage you to be with Jesus. I encourage you to walk with Jesus. And I encourage you to make a stand. Because Jesus made a pretty big one by dying for those boys and girls and rising again for those boys and girls in your group. So, we're going to go into a bit of ministry. What is it that you need before you leave this place? What is it that you need from God? Some of us have learned some incredible things, some incredible tips, some incredible, like, oh, great, I can do that tomorrow. But actually, if we are to minister to boys and girls, we need a touch of the King. So I'm going to invite John and Josh to come back up. And they're just going to play over us, if that's all right, if the Holy Spirit pads and whatever else. And the prayer team are around. All I'm going to say is I'm going to invite you to just stand and to come to the front. And then the prayer team are going to say, what is it that you want prayer for? Is it something from this morning about passion, about being, about picturing it? I need a vision. Is it about proclaiming it? How do I talk about it? I want to talk more about Jesus. What is it? Is it about, I just need to persevere because I'm struggling right now? Or is it that you just need team around you? Is it some of the stuff that you've heard this during the last few, through the last few sessions? Or is it about, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it? And by the way, I should say this, that by coming to the front doesn't show that you've got any, like, big, horrible sin stuff going on, all right? Like, we've made this space at the front for you to receive. It's not so that everyone's going to condemn you and look at you, all right? Because we're all broken people, and we all need to draw closer to Jesus. So I encourage every single one of you to come and receive some prayer, okay? I will stay here as long as it is to pray for you. As long as it's before 20 past five. Because if I'm not home tonight, man alive, I'm in trouble. But let's stand. I'm just going to welcome the Holy Spirit. If you want to come forward and receive some prayer, the prayer team are ready. That you've been with us all day. We thank you that you are so excited about what we're next going to see. But I pray right now that you will just bless us with your presence once more. Press on those things that we know that we need from you. So that we can be people who impact others. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray.